Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The Gay Day of Silence is right around the corner. During this program, we're going to discuss just what that is and who's behind it, and look at how this has impacted students, and has it created a scenario where homosexuality and transgenderism are being accepted? Is there an agenda behind it? And are there steps that parents can take to counter this? My guest today is Laurie Higgins. She's a cultural affairs writer for the Illinois Family Institute. Thanks, Laurie, for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Diane.
And, of course, you're located in Illinois, near Chicago.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think that's anything to be too excited about, but that's where I'm planted.
Southern Illinois is okay, but, I mean, much more, or even Western, I think. Western Illinois is more conservative. But then you have Chicago. But we have to deal with Philadelphia, so, okay, I understand. So this year, the Day of Silence is on April 12th. How long has this been going on in schools? And just what is it? What is a Day of Silence?
Well, it's been taking place for 23 years now. It started actually at the university level, and then it was taken over by the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network called GLSEN. And they have been hardcore pushing this for decades now in high schools, and now they're pushing for middle schools. I suspect next it'll be elementary schools. And what they ask people to do is they ask students and or teachers to refuse to speak for an entire day, which it's always in April. They used to say it was to draw attention to the silenced voices mm-hmm. of homosexuals and transgender students. But, of course, everyone knows that they're not silent.
Oh, that's for sure.
They dominate the culture, mm-hmm. their voices, in disproportionate and destructive ways. So now they say it's about ending bullying. What they neglect to do is to say, because all decent people oppose bullying,
absolutely.
Of all students, for any reason.
Right.
But what they seek to do is to end bullying by normalizing homosexual activity and the biological sex rejection, which they call the trans phenomenon. So what they do want to do is use public schools, public resources, taxpayer money in order to promote their assumptions about the nature and morality of homosexuality and biological sex rejection in public schools. And that's an outrage. Their beliefs are not facts, and yet they're promoting them as facts. They're intimidating students. They're silencing conservative students. That's
right.
Who are being silenced
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
And we should be, I wrote in my article about this, which I wrote on the March 22nd.
Right.
I mentioned that in a school in Fresno, California, the principal prohibited students from wearing a MAGA hat, mm. saying that it was disruptive. Well, I mean, of course, by disruptive, what she meant was that liberal students would get enraged and probably
right.
do something about it.
Yeah, they'd bully. They'd bully
exactly.
Kids wearing the hat.
I mean, we see that in the culture at large, people going up to people wearing MAGA hats in restaurants and accosting them. And so, but if wearing MAGA hats is disruptive, what is it to wear Day of Silence T-shirts and to refuse to speak
during class
time
yeah.
for an entire day?
Yeah.
Why is that not disruptive?
Sure. Yeah, we had a situation here in, you mentioned that one, in California, but we had a situation last year here in Pennsylvania, in Eastern PA, in Allentown. The Gay Straight Alliance Club in that school, East Penn School District, the Emmaus High School, the youth homeroom throughout that week to show pro-LGBT videos.
Oh,
leading
absolutely.
Up to the Day of Silence.
Yeah, many schools do that. We'll have an entire week of activities
wow.
to promote leftist assumptions about the nature and morality of homosexuality. And, by the way, GLSEN provides a guide
mm-hmm.
for educators that teaches teachers how to promote Day of Silence, and, of course, leftist views of homosexuality and the trans phenomenon the Day of Silence.
I thought this was supposed to be student-led.
Right. Well, that's like a technicality, which is why it's important if parents contact their schools to ask. Don't ask if the school is sponsoring it, because technically it's students who sponsor it.
Uh-huh.
Of course, at the behest and urging of GLSEN,
right,
that provides all sorts of resources for them. And there are schools that allow teachers to refuse to speak and teachers to use their classroom on that day, no matter what subject they're teaching, to affirm leftist views of homosexuality. This is just one of many things that go on in public schools regarding the homosexuality, the LGBT ideology.
And so, this has been going on for 23 years.
This has been. And then there's other days. I mean, there's other special days, the National Transgender Day of,
Remembrance.
And Ally Week and all sorts of. And that's in addition to what goes on, what individual teachers are doing in their classroom, the texts they choose to teach in class, whether it can be newspaper, magazine articles, it's plays, it's novels, all sorts of resources used to promote a leftist understanding of homosexuality and the trans ideology.
There's also No Name Calling Week in January.
Right.
That specifically targets middle school, elementary,
right,
middle school. So, yeah, they're definitely getting the target audience lower, the ages lower. And again, all as you're saying, it all within the goal of normalizing homosexuality and transgenderism. And
right. And one of the things they say is, we just want these kids to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
But what they mean by safety is, we don't want them to feel uncomfortable through an encounter with ideas that they disagree with.
Yeah.
But they don't feel that way about conservative kids. They don't care how unsafe, uncomfortable they make conservative kids feel by promoting an ideology that is at odds with the religious beliefs of Orthodox Jews, Muslims, Catholics, and many Protestant denominations. They couldn't care less about
Absolutely.
Their feelings.
Yeah, the article, that March 22nd article that you referred to a little bit ago, is entitled, What the World Needs Now is Some Conservative Civil Disobedience. And he described the Day of Silence as a political protest. We talked about, originally it was begun by GLSEN to highlight, in their words, to highlight the bullying that students who identify as LGBT experience in the school day. A lot of what they do is they get their statistics from a self-reporting online survey, a climate survey, they call it. And they point to that, and you read articles in mainstream media and such pointing to the GLSEN climate survey, which, again, it's self-reporting, is online, and basically anyone can go do it.
I would just like to say a word about bullying.
Yeah.
All schools have anti-bullying policies and practices that should be enforced.
Absolutely.
This is not what Day of Silence is. Day of Silence is centrally about changing the moral, political, philosophical beliefs of other people's children.
Right.
That's what GLSEN wants to do. They want to use our public schools, our government schools, our taxpayer-funded schools, in order to advance their ideology. That is not only ethically wrong, it's pedagogically wrong. If schools are going to deal with controversial topics, which they shouldn't be dealing in school with such a controversial topic,
mm-hmm,
because if they really want to make people feel safe, but if they insist on doing it, they have to spend equal time studying resources that dissent from the LGBT ideology.
Right, both sides of the coin.
But they won't do that.
No, they won't. And just
which is why it needs to come out of public schools.
Wow, I totally agree. Totally agree. And it is a political protest, because they are, again, as you're saying, you know, they're trying to change the hearts and minds of students and the public when it comes to the issue of homosexuality and transgenderism. But it's also, they're using, in some cases, using it, especially, I can view this or assume that this year the Day of Silence will be used to push the Equality Act, which is in the U.S. House, I think it's in both House and Senate, which would add sexual orientation and gender identity to the 1964 Civil Rights Act. So I could see where that would be a topic of discussion during this year's Day of Silence. That's just my gut feeling.
Right now, the big push in schools is about the trans ideology.
Yes.
So, which makes public schools complicit in the grievous harm being done to children, teenagers, mm-hmm. who are confused about their, well, what they'll call their gender identity. And as we know, and you've probably talked about, this phenomenon that is now called the rapid onset gender
right.
dysphoria, which is a phenomenon mostly of, primarily, but not exclusively, of adolescent girls
mm-hmm.
who the culture, social media particularly, is providing a lens through which they are, a distorted lens, through which they are misinterpreting common experiences, experiences that of discomfort with their body
mm-hmm.
that often emerge from a number of factors. Autism, many children who are on the autism spectrum feel some discomfort with their bodies. When bodies are changing, when young girls are starting to get unwanted
mm-hmm.
male attention,
mm-hmm.
children who are molested, children who are socially ostracized, there are many reasons why children begin to feel discomfort with their bodies, and then they go on social media,
oh, yeah.
and they see these accounts of transitioning people,
mm-hmm.
and they believe, falsely believe, that that's the answer to their discomfort. And so now that's the big push in public schools.
Yeah.
It's much there it intensified in the past few years, and it's really kind of usurped the whole homosexuality movement.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, since the Obergefell decision in 2015, was it 2015?
Yep.
I mean, right out the chute, it was pushing transgenderism. Yeah, we have a situation in a neighboring school district here, Lakeview School District, where the very thing that you described happened to a young lady. She was surfing the internet, trying to figure out, you know, well, why do I feel this way, blah, blah, blah. And she came upon some transgender-promoting websites, and that's when she, quote-unquote, realized she was transgender. She never knew about transgenderism until she went on that website or those websites, and she discovered that. And since then, the school has been pressured to allow her to use boys' facilities. It's just a total mess. But that, I mean, that's a perfect example, just a few miles from here, as to a young lady going online and discovering that she's transgender.
If I can take 1 minute to, so if any of your listeners are experiencing this really tragic, traumatic phenomenon in their own homes with loved children, there are some resources for them out there. There are people who are now fighting back about that. There are so many resources, but a couple I want to draw attention to. There's one website called the Kelsey Coalition. It's apolitical, and it's just parents who are trying to expose what's going on in the medical community in this affirmative protocol of only affirming confusion in children.
Mm-hmm.
There's another website that
back up a little bit. What was that? What was that first one again?
It's called the Kelsey, K as in Karen,
okay.
K-E-L-S-E-Y, Kelsey Coalition.
Coalition, okay.
There's another website called PEAK, P as in Peter, I-Q-U-E, PEAK Resilience Project, which is started by four young women, ages 19 to 22, all of whom who identified as trans, all who have now detransitioned. They are not conservative. Two of them identify as lesbians. And they talk about the damage done by social media and being on, well, three of the four were on cross-sex hormones, and all four of them regret their transitions.
Wow.
Another website called Fourth Wave Now, and that's the numeral four,
okay.
Fourth Wave Now. And there's an article that I think we posted it on Illinois Family Institute. It appeared on the a while ago. Maybe, I don't know if we have it up there yet. I have it on my Facebook page. It was an article that came out on the Federalist maybe it was even a year ago, about the very, very wealthy, particularly white men, extraordinarily wealthy, who are using their millions of dollars to promote this through universities, through medical hospitals, through organizations. And they focus on the Pritzker family, who are particularly problematic for us. J.B. Pritzker is our new governor, and then his first cousin, Jennifer Pritzker, is actually a man who now identifies as a woman. The Federalist article focuses on that family, just to limit the length of the article. It's a frightening article, and we are going someday, people are going to be held to account for the destruction done to the minds, hearts, and bodies of young children.
Oh, yeah.
And we're promoting this in public schools, including on Day of Silence.
Jesus warned about that, about what people do to young children, for sure.
Yep.
So you're saying, what's the end? I mean, they just are promoting sexual confusion? I mean, what is their purpose?
Well, when you look at what's being done to children, that we're chemically sterilizing and surgically mutilating children, you know that we battle against principalities and powers. I mean, you have a modern scientific culture, society, embracing a anti-science ideology like this, and you know this is demonic. But it's an interesting question. The political and cultural endgame, which many conservatives are not focusing on, is not to allow a few confused men to access women's spaces. The end game is the eradication of public recognition of sex differences everywhere for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to grasp that. And it's actually, what's interesting about this phenomenon is it is splitting the LGBT alliance, because there are many lesbians who oppose to men in women's sports, in women's private spaces, as they should. And so there's going to be a very interesting split here. Already the trans community, especially men who pretend to be women, are enraged at lesbians who object to their ideology. And they've come up with a pejorative for them. They call them trans-exclusionary radical feminist TERFs. And they are scarily threatening to these women. You can go online and find the threats that they issue against these women, and it is frightening, revealing how disturbed these people are.
Yeah, for sure. And even, I think it was like in 2004, even the Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest homosexual lobby group, under their previous director, Joe someone or other, they opposed the addition of gender identity into some federal law. So yes, there's definitely, it's a relatively new thing that the homosexual activists have grabbed hold of or embraced the transgender activist. But there's a split, so that's good.
I'm sure you know who Zach Ford is with the website Think Progress, which to me gets inordinate amount of attention for this small little website. But he came out, I think it was last year, 2018, with a tweet that said something to the effect that if you care about the genitalia of your partners, you know, your romantic sexual partners, you're transphobic. So, but both of us know from as much time we spend reading homosexual materials, homosexuals care deeply about the genitalia of their partners.
Mm-hmm.
So this just shows you where that this split is going to intensify.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, back to the Day of Silence happening on April 12th. And again, that's most schools will be observing it or allowing it on April 12th. Some schools have different days, but that's the main date. Anyway, so what can parents do? They need to call their school and not ask if they're sponsoring it, because they're not technically sponsoring it, but they should ask if they will allow students and or teachers to remain silent during that day.
Right.
And if the answer is yes, then if the school says yes, we will allow this, what should parents do?
They should keep their child home that day.
Oh, no. And what kind of impact does that have on schools? What message does that send to schools?
Well, one message, in most schools, every absence costs the district money. And since administrations and school boards and faculty do not listen to the reasoned positions of conservatives, the best we can do is hit them in the pocketbook.
Right.
Moreover, it keeps your child out of the politicization of the classroom, away from whatever is going on. Conservative kids do not like this day. Even from my experience from working in a public high school, even many kids who would identify as Democrats do not like this day, because they have friends who believe differently.
Yeah.
And when kids are at school, they just want to do what most of us do in our, if we work in a big organization. We stay away from controversial topics to grease the social wheels so we can get along with people. But what are schools doing? They are forcing kids where their captive audiences to confront, I would argue, this is the single most controversial issue in America today, homosexuality and gender confusion, more so even than abortion. And they're forcing them to address that. And so it's easy. Keep your kids home. You know, I know some groups of people will, if they have a lot of kids from the same church, they'll organize some you know, more edifying activity for the day. When I called my daughter out of school, which was now, I mean, she's approaching 30, I call her the Rosa Parks of Day of Silence because I called her out, and I was working in the same high school, so was, you know, it was kind of uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
And I actually sent emails to every one of her teachers, every department chair, every school board member, and every other administrator explaining why I kept her out.
Yeah.
And parents can go to a website called doswalkout.net, and we have all sorts of resources there, including a sample call-out letter if you want to call your child out, so you can do the same. I mean, some people just call their student out and don't explain. I say it's more effective if they know why you're keeping your child home.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that. Let the school know why.
Right.
And, I mean, your child can always make up the work, but I totally agree. Keep them away from that politicizing the public schools, because that's exactly what this is. Linda Harvey's also come up with, she's with Mission America, she's come up with some posters that possibly you could approach your school about putting up, dealing with this issue in specific, but her website's missionamerica.com/posters.
Now that you mentioned Linda, I should say that calling your child out of school is not an effort of just the Illinois Family Institute. We have a whole coalition of pro-family groups from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the North to the South, and you can see all the organizations that are participating in this on the Day of Silence walkout.net. By the way, it's not technically a walkout. We don't want parents to send their child to school and then call them out. For technical reasons regarding boycotts and things, we can't use the word boycott,
okay.
But that's in essence what it is.
That's true. So don't send your kid to school at all, but let your school know why.
Exactly.
And if you have the teacher's emails, which probably in today's world you do, let the teacher specifically know why your child is not there. So that's doswalkout.net. That's the Day of Silence Walkout website for all the information as to why and how to approach your school, and also the sample call-out letter. Posters that kids can approach their schools about possibly putting up is at missionamerica.com/posters. So again, that's doswalkout.net for the overall information about the walkout. And what's the Illinois Family Institute's website?
IllinoisFamily.org.
IllinoisFamily.org. And I encourage folks to go there to read a lot of great articles. Lori does a great job writing stuff. Her articles are up there, plus there's a lot of other good information. So three websites, doswalkout.net, missionamerica.com/posters, IllinoisFamily.org. Thanks, Lori, so much for being with us and explaining all this, these attacks on our kids, because we have to be diligent and not just assume that once your kid gets on the school bus that they're going to be safe that day, because they're not.
Thanks so much, Diane.
Hey, take care of them.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.